Let those who have an ear hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Let those who have an ear hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. I pray hearts be open in this morning. I pray spirits be open in this morning. I pray for the ability to understand word, not the letter, but by the spirits, that you will receive the words being given and thrown into the atmosphere. Bible says that the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So hold up your Bibles for me for a moment. Nie jou tablet of jou foon nie. Just hold up your Bibles for me quickly. See, we, Pastor Chris, we're sitting with a situation here where we've got soldiers running into battle without a sword. No, it's not. Just hold up your Bibles for me, please. You cannot read this without the Spirit of the living God. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Are you guys with me? Now I want to take it a step further by making a statement, if I may, that it does not even help. I wonder if I can say this. It does not even help you praying in tongues if you do not have this in you. Praying and studying the Word walks hand in hand. Cannot have the one without the other. It will not work. Are you guys with me? I can prove it. Do you know that you can pray in the Spirit, but out of the flesh? You can pray in tongues out of the flesh and not in spirit? Oh yes, it is really possible. And I've come to the conclusion that normally happens when people like this. What is this? Okay, open your Bible. Any place. It can be a problem. Don't read. Of course, maybe you just open at a place where the wrath of God is coming upon Israel. And you're thinking that is for you now. No, no, no. I just want you to open your word. The words that you see on the pages right now is unprocessed. Hello? It is unprocessed. So I must process the word. How do I process the word? Now we need to understand the five dimensions of the word of God, which I'm not going to get into. We have explained this many a times. Graphai, Logos, Rhema, Shalak. Hello? Do I have people with me this morning? You guys with me? How do I process the letter? I must get it on the inside of me. I must place it on the spiritual factory that is on the inside of me, that is filled with the Holy Spirit. It's unprocessed, but I must get it processed so that I can understand the various mysteries and hidden things and secret things that is locked up within the pages itself. How do I get it processed? By taking it off of the pages and place it within my spiritual factory. In my spirit man. Are you guys with me? And then once it's in my spirit man and I start praying in tongues, I'm processing the word. And now I'm praying out mysteries, as the Bible says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit, in the spirits, in the what? In the what? He speaks mysteries. Have you ever thought what those mysteries are and where they're coming from? Don't think you're just going to sit praying in tongues and mysteries is going to come up. God can only speak to you to the extent that you know His Word. Can I say that again? God can and will only speak to you to the extent that you know His Word. First book of Corinthians, chapter 14, 2. People think I'm lying. King James. One, two, three. I hear some King James coming through there. It sounds good. Albeit in the spirit he speaks. In the, he speaks. Where is that coming from, the mysteries? If there's no word, there is nothing to process. So your Bible is unprocessed tongues. I hope someone is hearing me. And the moment I get the word on the inside of me, hello, and I start to speak, rivers of living water starts to flow. What is that? Come on now. I need you to understand things in context. Why am I saying this? Because I hope that I can get at least 5 people. If I can get 5 people hungry for the word of God, in this morning I have by God accomplished my task. If I can get you hungry for the word of God, I will always say this. If you go for anything, go for the word. And I will always stress the importance of this, that you cannot neglect that book that you are holding in your hand. There are too many households where there's a book lying on the shelf and the only thing that it's gathering is dust. It is time for you to take that book known as the Holy Bible and to open up those scriptures and then to open up your mouth and say, Kenenema ashe keterema la rabo onde eshe kerema leyenda ramasa anana no. And you start to read that Bible in and through the Holy Spirit of the living God and see how your life will shift and change. See how atmospheres around you will shift and change. I'm only teaching this morning. This is a topic that gets me extremely excited. So I've seen and experienced the power of both worlds, the Word and the Spirit. Every single day of my life, I walk in the Word and I walk in the Spirit. And I see the power thereof every single day of my life. I'm preaching out of experiential knowledge. Mark my words. These are not just fancy words that I've heard someone said. I'm preaching what I'm living. I'm a testimony of the very words that I'm preaching in this morning. Mark my words. Your life will change dramatically for the good the moment that you engage with Scripture through the Spirit. Can I get you hungry? Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16, New King James. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through. I'm a church participating pastor. Asseblief mense, breek saam met my. Through. Where? Through His Spirit. In the inner man. So the Holy Spirit strengthens you from the inside. Which means that it starts in your spirit. And then it flows like a river, affecting the soul. And then the soul affects the body. And if you push it even further, it will start to affect the environment and the atmosphere around you. But it starts first in the spirit. This is the way that God designed man. God designed man that His Spirit must control his soul through the Holy Spirit of the living God. And your soul must govern your body. But for many, they have their priorities wrong. Hello. Strengthened through His Spirit in the inner man. It starts in the Spirit. That's why the Bible says in the book of Jude, verse 20, New King James, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Meaning I'm fortifying my body, my soul, and my spirit when I pray in tongues. Are you guys with me? Come on, how many of you can testify that when I speak in tongues, there's a strengthening that I can feel from the inside coming up and it starts affecting my body. Come on now, I mean, if you can testify this. Oh, I hope that I'm speaking to people that knows how to press in prayer. How many of you can say that there are moments when I engage and the Spirit of God comes in, the anointing is there, and I can feel that there's a strengthening that is taking place, but it's coming from the inside of me. How many of you can say that when you pray in tongues, there is a supernatural peace that suddenly comes upon you that surpasses all understanding? And then how many of you can say that there are moments when you pray in tongues, not always, but sometimes when you pray in tongues, then suddenly all hell breaks loose? Hello? Oh, it's just me. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. And you're thinking, dear God, what the heck? Hello? All hell breaks loose. The reason for this is because tongues is a supernatural, spiritual thing. And when we pray in tongues, supernatural things starts to happen. Meaning I'm now walking in my freedom. And the enemy is trying to prevent that from happening. And so the very attack exposes Satan's fear. And it validates the power that's being released when we open our mouths and we start to pray in tongues. I don't know if someone is hearing me. Are you guys with me? Say the mysteries of tongues. I'm telling you, this is the answer. The Bible says that we must wield the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is not your written word. The sword of the Spirit is not your written word. The Holy Spirit is the sword, and He is the voice of God. In fact, in modern day terms, we might say that the Holy Spirit is the gun. The question remains is, how do I pull the trigger? Because the Bible says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But I rather like, this is Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17 for those taking notes. This is your spiritual armor by God. I do trust that you know this. But now the New Heart English Bible translation, I doubt that we've got that. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to read it. Just keep it there for me because I'm going to carry on from there. It states it like this. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. So how do I take this gun? How do I take the sword and wield it? How do I pull the trigger? The very next verse holds the answer. As it says, praying always. Praying? Praying? Always. There is no limit to this thing. When you wake up, you say, when you get in your car and you drive to work, you say, when you get out of your car and before you walk into your workplace, you say, when you sit down and you find yourself at a crossroad where you no longer have the answer and you don't know what to do, you say, and check divine intelligence come up. Because the Bible says that when I pray in a tongue, my mind is unproductive and therefore bears no fruits. But I now speak the mysteries of God and develop now the mind of Christ. Now I'm speaking from a different dimension. And see things shift and change for you. There's no limit to this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the being watchful to this end with all perseverance. See, this is where many people miss it by that words. With all perseverance. Perseverance. And supplication for all the saints. Perseverance. Do you know how to push through? Do you know how, like Jacob, to wrestle with God until the breaking of dawn and to say, I refuse to let you go until, when is your enough, you're enough? Do you have a limit that will say, oh, well, this thing is not working. Let's just leave it there. What is your limit? Come on now. This is real. Perseverance. You're on a battleground. We're facing an invisible enemy operating behind the scenes. You're fighting the most difficult battle you will ever fight in your life. And that is a foe that you cannot see. And you will need to develop perseverance to remain standing on this battleground. Tongues edifies, strengthens, builds up, and fortifies your entire body, your soul, and your spirit. Listen, many people deem this gift one of the least and smallest of gifts. Yet it's this gift that will give all of the other gifts efficiency in and through your life. Hello. Do I have people with me? Amen. So the way that we pull the trigger, but it doesn't help you pull the trigger and there's no ammunition. How do I load the gun? How do I load the gun? How do I load the gun? Hello. How do I load the gun? And that does not matter. You can pray. If it's not loaded, it's not gonna carry you. That gun must be loaded. Are you guys with me? If you take this and you place it in your factory, your spiritual factory, and you pray in tongues, it is pulling the trigger and there's shots that will be fired and it will be aimed. Listen, when you pray in the spirit, yes, many might say that I don't know what I'm praying for. It does not matter. I've said it before. You don't always want to know what you're praying for. But by the spirit, in the spiritual realm, you will aim at the right target, and when you pray, shots will be fired with pinpoint accuracy and will accomplish every task according to the way that God have ordained it, with perfection, with excellence, and with distinction. I am telling you, you cannot fail. Take notes. Skryf julle, take note. Take note means take a note. It's a revelation in it. You know what? I've searched it, what it means to take a note. And guess what I found? It means to take a note. The Bible says that we must do this with all perseverance. Why did Paul say that? The man who said that I thank God I pray in tongues more than any of you. Why did he make this statement? Because we're fighting an invisible enemy. And there are forces operating behind the scenes that will try everything within their power to prevent you from doing this. Because they understand more than Christians the power that is locked up in when they speak in tongues. It will be very subtle attacks. They will even connect you with other Christians. But those Christians will say, listen, it's not for everyone. This praying in tongues, be careful. It's not for everyone. Why are you doing it so much? No, relax a bit. Huh? It's a very subtle attack. Many will even say, and we get this even in the body of Christ, that it is not of God. Now, let's not touch on what that is. Because now you're walking and treading on very dangerous ground. Speaking and saying where God is busy working and operating, that it's not God, is very dangerous. You don't want to touch that. I'm saying that as a warning. Be careful. If you're not sure and you do not have your facts straight, until you have your truths and your facts in a row. Are you guys with me? And it's all designed to get you. Now, this is the problem. If you are new in your faith, and unfortunately many have, if you are new in your faith, you will fall for such arguments. Hello. It is important that we preach the truth. Are you guys with me? Are you guys with me? You can always tell how powerful the truth is by the amount of persecution and opposition that it faces. It's almost like preaching grace. A lot of persecution against the grace message. Or let's go to prosperity. The very attack and opposition it faces verifies and validates the powerful truth that is actually locked up in it. So the enemy is an idiot. Because think about it. He thinks he's all clever. Men say pitchfork. Huh? Aquaman. But think about it. He's an idiot. Because now he's attacking the very thing, but by doing it, he's revealing the truth that is in it. Listen, I'm giving you a key here. When you have... I'm giving you a key that will set you free. Because mark my words, if you can overcome the battle in your mind, then you have overcome. You can apply what I've said in anything. You see, when the enemy comes and tells you, you are useless. Like, oh wait, you idiot. Now I know. You've just exposed yourself. Now I know my worth in Christ. Should not have said that. Now I will show you. Hello. Everything starts in the mind and in the thought dimension. Everything starts as a suggestion. And then it becomes words. And it becomes your reality. Make sure that your mind, and I've said this before, is governed by the Holy Spirit of the God. For the mind that's governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Romans chapter 8. Hello? Tongues is a weapon that the enemy is dreadfully afraid of. It is one of the most powerful weapons that has been given the church, that has been given the body of Christ. And the only thing that we need to do is just go to Him and drink. The only thing, just go to Him and drink. Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 37, New King James. Listen to this. These are one of those statements where we need to understand some history. And it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Now see, we read this and we think, okay, great. There was a feast. Jesus stood up and said, now, you need to understand in context what happened here. It's crazy. I'll explain it to you. Don't worry, because I see some blank looks. Huh? I'll maybe just explain this because of time. Are you guys with me? So how do we go to Him and drink? This passage of Scripture holds the answer. Go with me to verse 38. Next verse. He who believes in me. Don't make the gospel difficult. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, King James says, don't go there, but it says out of your belly, will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, for whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So first understand that you did not receive tongues, or we do not receive tongues because of something that we have done. No, you receive tongues because Jesus was glorified. You receive, it's not by your works. You receive it just by believing. And you receive it because Jesus was glorified. Are you guys with me? Now please bear in mind, go for me verse 37 again. Now let me show you something. On the last day, that great day of the feast. Say that great day of the feast. Okay. So this is actually speaking about the Feast of Tabernacles. Hello. I want you to bear in mind, Jesus stood up in the midst of the assembly with a loud voice cried out over everyone. If anyone thirsts, come to me. Now you need to understand what happened there. It's like when we have, let's say we've got a very serious moment here on a Sunday and it's quiet and suddenly someone just jumps up and they yell that. I guarantee each and every one of you will be like, the ashes will jump them, most probably. He says, sir, please, sit down. Huh? Hello, let me explain this. Hello, just please don't just jump up in a service and yell anything. I will ask the ushers to accompany you. Okay, I'm just using an example. Amen. Let's not set a precedent here and people think they can just... It was the Feast of Tabernacles. This was a year-end feast. This is also the last one that we normally celebrate at the end of the year, Feast of Tabernacles. It is a year-end feast. And what will happen is, on that day, the priest that was appointed as high priest will take a golden pitcher. And they would then, from the temple that was on Mount Moriah, they would make their way down all the way to the pool of Siloam. And they would go there to fetch some water there. And on the way down, they would sing Psalms chapter 113 to 118. Now, I'm going to go through this chapter and break it up verse by verse. I'm just joking. Okay, I'm good. Let's go. Jeez. I like the hunger. It's like to be like, okay, yes. Some people are even getting comfortable. Lekker, yes. Okay. And they would sing these psalms. There's a lot of spiritual, prophetic significance in this whole act. Please remember that this pool was the same pool where Jesus took his spit and he mixed it with the dust, made mud, and he placed it on the blind man's eyes. And he told him to go wash. He sent him to the pool of Siloam. But when Jesus did this miracle, it was close to the pool of Bethesda. And now we have to ask, but why did he send him then all the way to Siloam? If this is a blind man, he was still blind. Now he must make his way all the way. The pool of Bethesda is just there, a few meters away. But now he must make his way all the way down to the pool of Siloam. Why? Everything Jesus did was to show who they are dealing with. Everything. And something that was about to take place. Everything in the Old Testament is a foreshadow of greater things to come. Everything. I'm telling you this. You see, the pool of Siloam carries prophetic significance. I don't know if you're right, actually. The pool of Siloam means the pool of the one who will be sent. Which of course is speaking about the Messiah, the very one they were waiting for, according to prophecy. Are you guys with me? So the Jews regarded this pool as a prophetic pool. And it was connected to the Messiah that would come and that would pour out water. Say, pour out water. On dry desert land, and that would come and pour out his spirits. It's in the book of Psalm, I'll show you, and even in Proverbs. And that would, this is prophecy. The Messiah would come and he would make the dry desert lands full of floods and living water, and I will pour out my spirit upon the Jews. They're crying out for this. Are you guys with me? So it's very prophetic in its meaning. So the priest would take water from this pool. They would make their way back up to Mount Moriah to the temple. And then they would pour out this water on the altar of sacrifice. Everything was perfectly timed. And while they're pouring it out, they would again sing Psalm 113 to chapter 118. Hello? Now, obviously, there's some stuff that I need to show you. Can I, of those psalms that they're actually singing, because otherwise nothing will make sense. Psalm 118, verse 1, for example. Don't go there. I'm just giving reference. New King James, I'm reading out of New King James. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. This is what they would sing while they're pouring it out. For He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, His mercy endures forever. Let the house fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Listen to verse 25. This is what I want to get into. Psalm 118 verse 25 says this, save now I pray, O Lord. Meaning they're crying out for salvation. Send now prosperity. Put this on for me. Psalm 118 verse 25. I want you guys to see this. Just quickly my time. Look at that. Save now I pray, O Lord. This is what they would cry out and sing. While they pour out, say pour out the water. Okay? And they say, save now I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now. Listen, part of this song speaks of them proclaiming unto God, saying, send now prosperity, Lord. Send now salvation. Even the act of pouring out of water was them asking God to send rain, which is prophetic in its meaning. Just stay with me, I'm going somewhere. In fact, let me show you something. Put on Isaiah 44 verse 3, New King James. Many believe that they would quote this verse as well. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Remember Jesus, this is during the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus jumped up saying, if anyone thirsts, come to me. Okay, remember that. For I will pour water on him who thirsts and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirits on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. So here they are, they're crying out for the Messiah they're waiting for. Oh Messiah, won't you come? That we may receive salvation and that we may receive true prosperity. Send your rain, O God. What they're crying is that your spirit may come upon your people, and they're crying out, send salvation, send salvation, let the Messiah come. This is what they're crying out. Salvation here in Hebrew means Yeshua. So they're saying, send now your Yeshua. Are you guys with me? But what's happening? Jesus is standing there at the appointed moment in time. Say the appointed moment in time. They've been doing this year after year after year after year. But this year, Jesus is within their midst. And the time has come. And they're crying out, Yeshua, Yeshua. What happens? He appears. And he cries out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You can imagine, he's standing there and he's responding to our heart's cry. But unfortunately, it was done out of religion. It was still done out of the law. And he's responding to a cry. He says, here I am. The one you've been waiting for. Come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me. He's telling them, as your word, your scripture says that you teach, out of their hearts shall flow rivers of living water. I don't know if someone is hearing me. He is the answer to salvation. He is the answer to send salvation. He is the answer to send, prosperity. Say it. Come to me, whoever believes, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When he said that in the midst of the assembly, they knew, the Jews knew exactly exactly what he meant. Are you guys with me? They knew exactly. They're busy performing the ritual. That is now saying that, listen, you will no longer have to go down every year to the pool of Siloam and go fetch water there. Come back and pour it out over the sacrifice. For I am about to send you living water. I am about to send you another helper that will be poured out upon you, a living sacrifice. And the one that I sent will remain with you always. And that is my spirit. I don't know if someone is getting this. For the Jews, living water is their entire existence. Hello, you need to understand this. For the Jews, living water is their entire existence. Now, for me to explain this statement, we need to understand the cleansing process in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. Hello? Yes, mense, so dit beteken julle moet Leviticus gaan lees ook. Yes, Pastor Martin, ek lees hier my Bible. Accept. You know, when I get to Leviticus, I just... Numbers, I just... And the first half of Deuteronomy is goeie. Dit moet al hy los, dit moet niks met my uit te waai nie. You trust me, you miss a lot. I say it then, for the Jews, living water was the entire existence. But now for me to explain that statement, we need to understand the cleansing ceremony, ritual, that they had to undergo in the Old Covenant. Are you guys with me? So up until that moment, obviously the Jews were still under the law, so under the law. And living water would mean to them something that is needed to make you ceremonially clean. After you've been declared unclean, defiled, in other words, for whatever reason or purpose. Amen. So under the law. Jeez, but I mean it's law. Okay. There's a baptism about to take place. Taste me now on this, O the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the floodgates of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And the people's quay, quay. Yes, 100%. Squeeze. Ish. The aqua prophet. Okay, let me carry on. Flip, that's funny. Say, under the law. Under the old covenant, there were many things that could make you unclean and defiled. Are you guys with me? Thanks be to God, we are no longer under the law. The Bible says that whoever believes in Christ Jesus are justified from all things. Say, from all things. By which you could not be justified under the old covenant. So thank God that we are no longer under the old covenants. Are you guys with me? Under the law. So, for example, when we speak about leprosy, we will say that it's a disease. Are you guys with me? But in the Jewish mindset, they would not call it a disease. They would say that the person is unclean. They would say that the person is defiled. We've seen this true when Jesus healed the leper. And he did not say that you are healed. He said, you are cleansed. He speaks their language. Are you guys with me? And so for the Jewish mindset, disease and defilement in their mind is exactly the same thing. It is a disease of uncleanness in the body. Say in the body. I need you to stay with me now. So I'm going to touch on sicknesses a bit. Those allergies you have. If I tell you, no one can be allergic. You can be allergic to poverty, that's fine. What if I tell you, you cannot physically be allergic to something? Is jy reg? So defilement and uncleanness in the body. That's what they don't call it a disease. It's defilement. Uncleanness in the body. Are you guys with me? Hello? And so when we read about all the rituals that they had to go through and undergo just to be made clean, we tend to think it's got nothing to do with us. To some extent, yes, but there's a lot of prophetic significance that is locked up in it if you understand why they did things the way that they did things. And understanding that I must read all the old covenants with new covenant eyes. Are you guys with me? So, let's say that a Jew is now defiled. What they would do is they must go to a what is known as a baptismal pool. Hello. It's all ritual. I'm just not gonna explain the whole process now. But at the end, what they must do is they must go to a baptismal pool. Amen. Now, this baptismal pool must be connected to a natural source of water. Must be natural source. In other words, it had to contain rainwater or from a spring or from a river. You guys with me? But now in modern day terms, what they would do is, on modern day, what they would do is they would, these some of the households would build their own baptismal pools. And it had to be built under the ground. But then what they would do is they would fill it with tap water, which means that they are not adhering to the conditions. So what they then did is they would have a secondary pool that would be filled and capture rainwater. And then when it was time for someone to be cleansed, they would then unplug a hole within the secondary that had the rainwater or whatever natural source of water that would flow and be poured out into the stagnant water of the primary pool. And when it mixed, they would say, now that water is living water. No, some are getting it. They would then say that now that water is living water. When it was enough water that flowed through, they would plug the hole and say, enough water. Are you guys with me? So when the rainwater touched the stagnant water, it became living water. Someone is still not getting it. So here comes Jesus, the living water, down the mountain, and he meets the leper. Are you guys with me? So Jesus is now this rain that is coming down this mountain. So here comes the teacher of righteousness, and he comes to this man, this leper. Here comes the teacher of righteousness, the living words, the living water, and he meets stagnant water, the leper. And the moment the two connected, what happens? The man was cleansed. So you become clean the moment that living water touches you. Hello? You become clean the moment when living water touches you. You become clean the moment when living water touches you. You become clean. Let it sink in what I'm saying. Because out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. What is that sickness still doing in your body? Problem is, are you guys still with me? That water must flow. Cannot remain still. So answering the question, what is that sickness still doing in your body? It's because you're not opening your mouth and you're not speaking specifically in tongues. Because when I speak in tongues, it is like pulling the plug and the water starts to flow. Don't put that plug back ever again in your life and say, enough water. You can never have enough water. Let there be a consistent, continual flow of the Spirit of the living God in and through you. As I have said, it starts in your spirit, man. And as I continue to pray, it flows into my soul. And I lift it in prayer. And I continue. And it starts affecting my body. And I press even deeper and I go even higher. And suddenly, it now affects the environment around me. And that is where we find in the book of Ezekiel, where he says that I saw a temple, and out of this temple came a river of living water. And where this river went, what does it say? Come on. Wherever this river went, wherever this river went, there was life. There was life. Does the Bible not say, but you are, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells within you? And wherever this river goes, there was not just life, but there was multiplication. And again, we touch on prosperity. You cannot deny this thing. Oh, you cannot deny it. It is in your Bible. Go search it. I'm hoping that they're hearing it. Wherever you go, wherever my feet touches the ground, that becomes the location of heaven. Let me go deeper. Wherever your feet touches the ground, that becomes the location of the inner courts, the Holy of Holies, the throne room of God. Wherever you go. Hello. God said, Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Wherever you go, let rivers of living water be stirred up and come forth from your innermost being. Come on. And let it start touching and changing, starting with you. And then the environment around you. And see things shift. See things change. See those around you crying out for deliverance, for salvation, for healing. And you will lay hands. Man, we can really break this thing up. Are you guys with me? Just quickly have your seats. I still have 5 minutes. I'm doing good. Bible says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, it's very interesting. Of all the organs in your body, the place where stress, worry, fear, and anxiousness manifest is where? Pastor Gerard, hoe voel dit net voor jy preek? Waar voel jy dit? If I quickly point to someone, let me see, and I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to pray for someone in tongues and then you're going to interpret. Let's just see. So I'm going to call some random person to the front quickly. I'll be praying in tongues for someone and then you will interpret. You guys right? Let me just see who. Okay, what are you feeling right now? No. This is where people develop IBS. I'm serious. You experience this thing in your stomach, in your body. Are you guys with me? In your belly. When you develop IBS and you see the doctor, the first thing that they ask you, what are you worried about? Are you working in a high stress environment? Yeah. And they'll say, tell you that your stomach is imbalanced. Are you guys with me? They'll ask, are you under a lot of stress? But it requires living water to remove all defilements, every curse, and every bondage that came as a result of man's fall was rendered powerless when it came into contact with living water. Say living water. And the Bible says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So how do I get this river to flow? By praying in tongues. Imagine what can happen when I pray all day, every day in tongues. Every defilement, every sickness, every disease, it will cease to exist in your body. Hello. Hello. I need to close off. Can I give you one more thing? Can I give one more thing? Say, I must partake from the tree of life, not of knowledge of good and evil. So my body is a temple and I must build it up. When I pray in tongues, I'm building up my entire being, not just body, but body, soul, and spirit. Are you guys with me? Me not trying to avoid evil and try and do good, but it's a problem still because I'm still eating from the same tree. And this tree brings death. Christianity is not partaking from the tree of good and evil. Christianity is partaking from the tree of life. Say the tree of life. Now, this is extremely important. Say the tree of life. When you think or have bad thoughts, there's a part of your brain that releases electrical impulses to the nerves in your brain. And if it's bad thoughts, you will find that this nerve will grow. It almost looks like branches. And those branches releases toxic. Fluids, I want to use the word, into your body. If I am afraid of something, that part of my brain, it's called the hypothalamus, releases electrical impulses and it causes the branches of those. And every time that I fear more and more over the same thing, that thing will grow more branches. And it releases toxins, poison into your body. Where does it stem from? Hello? I want you to get this. That nerve and those branches actually looks like a tree. And the edges almost looks like a serpent head. If it's toxic thoughts. I don't know if someone is hearing me. I state again that Christianity is about partaking of the tree of life. Hear me now when I'm speaking. Some people are already lost. But now the Bible says that when I speak in an unknown tongue, I make the mind unproductive so that those thoughts can bear no fruits and can affect nothing nor no one. Because now I tap into the mind of Christ, which starts to manifest in and through my life. But again, I need the word of life to come into me. Are you guys with me? When I read this, I'm washing my mind with the water of the word found in Ephesians chapter 5. Ach, Here toch. I'm giving you the solution to your bloody sickness. And some are like, You think I'm joking? Okay, let me get off of that train. It's a lot of stuff I wanted to say there. Let me say this. It is important that we understand the difference between law and grace. Okay? In context of everything that I've just said. If you read the book of Romans, you'll find that Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, 6, and 7 all speak about law, grace, law, grace, law, grace, law, grace. And then when you step into chapter 8, we find life in the Spirit. You see, many people unfortunately stop. Many Christians start their life at Romans 8 without having the doctrine and the foundation of Romans 1 to 7. You find the same thing true in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Law, grace, law, grace, law, grace. Then you get to chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit. And we find the life in the Spirit. So many Christians only start their life at Galatians 5 and Romans 8, but they don't have the foundation of the importance of what it means to live in grace. Are you guys with me? Why am I saying this? Because you need to understand that you are now led by the Spirit of the living God. That is the river of living water that brings life even to your mortal bodies. Should I again quote Romans chapter 8? For if Christ is in you, then even though your bodies is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. Because of righteousness, that statement will not make any sense if you do not have the foundation of Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. What does it mean for the Spirit of the living God to flow in me, to abide, to live within, upon, and around me, and to walk in this newfound grace? I don't know if someone is hearing me. Are you guys with me? Hello? Romans chapter 8 literally begins with there's no condemnation and it ends with there's no separation. Literally. But you cannot understand that if you don't have the foundation set. You cannot just live a Romans 8 life. You must have the doctrine set, and I'll speak on that tonight. Are you guys with me to live a life of victory? Say a life of victory. Say again, say a life of victory. Do I have time? Can I do one more? We need to understand the sacrifice of the red heifer. Say the sacrifice of the red heifer. In the Old Testament, there was something known as the ritual of the red heifer. I mean, many of you might know this. And the sacrifice obviously begins where one must choose a female cow who has never been yoked and where there is no blemish. So please take notes. Ons weet nou wat dit beteken, die revelation from please take notes. So please take notes. On it there is no yoke, which means that it's never been placed under slavery. Amen. This speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was never in bondage nor in slavery. Also in Christ there is no more blemish. Can I say that again? In Christ, for me, in Christ, there is no more blemish. And the red heifer was then to be killed. They would then burn the heifer until all that is left is the ashes. Say the ashes. The ashes means the final state. Say the final state. Meaning it is finished. Does it sound familiar? It is finished. All of your sins are ashes. When the devil brings your past sins to you, remember that your sins are ashes. Jesus Christ was judged for your sins. I say again, when he comes and presents you with your past failures and mistakes, remember that they are nothing more than ashes. Say, my past sins are ashes. Say again, say, my past sins are ashes. These ashes would then be placed in living water. Whenever someone would become unclean, They had to go to the priest. The priest would then take his hand, dip it in this water, and sprinkle it on them. And they would be proclaimed clean. It is after this, after 7 days, they had to go and baptize. Tying up with the pool of Siloam. Are you guys with me? Baptismal pools. Are you guys still with me? Don't get confused between the other ritual flows. Are you still with me? Put on for me quickly Numbers chapter 19, verse 13. Just want to put stuff in context. I'll close over this. I'm almost done. Whoever touches the body of anyone who dies and does not purify himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord, that person shall be cut off from Israel. He shall be unclean, because the water of purification, which contains the ashes, was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. Verse 16, whoever in the open field touches one who is slain by a sword or has died, or a bone of a man or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. Verse 17, and for an unclean person, they shall take some of the ashes of the heifer burnt for purification from sin, and running water, say running water, come on, there is it in scripture, and running water. In Hebrew, this literally means living water. Running water literally means living water, shall be put on them in a vessel. Hello. A clean person shall take hyssop, say hyssop, and dip it in the water, sprinkle it on the tent and all the vessels and on the persons who were there, meaning on everything that was defiled and touched by you through it. It shall be placed on them as well. Are you guys with me? Hello, and that's how be cleansed. That's how you will cleanse it. Say thank you, Jesus. I'm no longer under the law. You imagine you have to do that every day or every second week. Hello. There's great truth locked up in this. It is all about the red heifer. Say the red heifer. So what does all of this represent? It is about the application of the ashes. The finished work of Jesus Christ in your life. Are you guys with me? Say it's the application. Say again, say it's the application. Verse 18 says, a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water. Say hyssop and dip it in the water. So what is the hyssop a symbol of? The Bible says in the book of James that the tongue is the little member of the body. Now, when the Bible talks about the wisdom of Solomon, say the wisdom of Solomon, it says that he can speak about the hyssop all the way to the cedars. Now, the cedars speak about a righteous man, and a hyssop speaks about that part of the body that is the smallest member of the body, and that is the tongue. So you might say that you must take the tongue and you must dip it in water. So now Jesus said that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. What do you think happened in the upper room in the book of Acts when they gathered in one accord and tongues of fire came and rested upon them? What part of them was affected? Their tongues. They were dipping their tongues in fire. They were now dipping their tongues in living water. Are you guys with me? When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it will always affect your mouth. I'm going to say that again. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it will always affect your mouth. When I open my mouth and I start speaking in tongues, I'm dipping my smallest member on my body, my tongue, in that living water. And then I release the words. It's Holy Spirit led, holy fire fault, glory carried words that must carry power of God. It must bring change. It must transform. Hello. They had to take this hyssop, the tongue, and sprinkle it on everything that was defiled. So where you go when you speak in tongues, water is going out. It is coming forth. It is bringing healing. It is bringing restoration. Oh man, I'm telling you, it is time for a generation to rise up. and the power of His might that is unashamed of the gospel. For the gospel is the power of God to salvation. I pray for a generation that can say that I am unafraid, for my identity is established in the Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ, that I am filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God, and I understand exactly what it means to live a life that is by grace. Oh, come on, I hope that I've got someone here in this morning that can give a shout of praise and that can say, I know what will happen the next time when I open my mouth and I start to pray in unknown tongues. I know that at that moment, rivers of living water is coming forth out of this temple, and it is touching and changing the environment around me, and it is making it just like me. That is another message.